Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, hello. Welcome, my friends, to the show that never ends, the best show. My name is Tom Sharpling, the host of tonight's episode, and I want to ask you right off the top. I know we got a full show. We got John Daly, superstar John Daly's going to be on talking about his music and his new record. Excited for that. We got all the Steely Dan talk. It's going to be you, the listener, convincing me that Steely Dan are good because I'm not on board. I don't get it. You're going to try to help me get it, or maybe I'll convince you to not get it. That's coming up all throughout the show. And the phone number is 201. I don't know. Payette, what are the number?
201-332-3484.
201-332-3484. And it is time for us to start, without further ado, the best show. Everybody, it's the best show, and my name is Tom, and I'm the host of the show now and forever. We are here in what we call the final iteration of the best show. If we are the White Album right now, what do we listen to? Cream Tangerine. Montana Lemon. Right? Then we're going to do a whole lot of Revolution Number 9. Then we forever. But no! No. Fight is fight. And we're here to fight. And we'll keep fighting and doing the show. And being funny and having a great time. The phone number 201-332-3484. We got John Daly coming up in a bit. But tonight we talk about the Dan. Steely Dan, that's right. You know him. And when you smile for the camera, I know I love you better, right? I think they're terrible. You like them. A lot of you like them. Everybody likes them. I'm on the outside looking in on this one. I'm on the outside looking in. I'm sick of it. Sick of it. Sick of there being this gulf between me and you. You love them. I can't stand them. Who's right? Who's right? So, and this all started when suddenly there was like, Bill Callahan and Bonnie Prince Billy just did a cover of a Deacon Blues. Does that make you like him now? Like all the people going to me, does that make you like him now? No. I'm going to say this. You like him? God bless you. God bless you. You'll like him. Not for me, man. I don't get it, but I'm ready to get it. I come to you humbly. And you all think, everybody's like, no, you don't mean it. I mean it. I come humble. Humility is a big thing for your guy here. You know the guy with the best show? Humility, big thing? No? What? You don't believe me? You're going to have to believe me. Because all kidding aside, you want to learn stuff? You got to be humble. Got to be ready to listen. And I'm ready to listen to the Steely Dan. And I want you, the best show listener, the Steely Dan fan, to call. Just tell me what works for you about them. And why, what I'm missing. Tell me what I'm missing. When I whisper like that, you know what reminds me of? It has to start sometime. It has to start someplace. What better time than now? What better place than here? And what better place than here? I'm in Los Angeles doing the show with the kind generosity of my bros at Forever Dog. Brett. We got Brett. You know Brett. He's the producer of my other show, Double Threat, which is a smash hit. Brett, Double Threat's a smash still?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Unquestionable smash. Best new podcast of 2020.
Numbers are good?
Oh, numbers are great.
Flagship show for the network?
It's well on the way. Well on the way. I mean, it's got some stiff competition. We got a very good network, a lot of good shows, but definitely top of the pile.
You want to know what, though? That was the right answer. I would have been bummed if you said, oh, yeah, absolutely, flagship show. You gave the right answer. Thank you, Brett. So, yeah. Steely Dan. Other thing I want to ask first to everybody. You know, we got to get rid of when you go to a thing like a customer, a play, you go to like a business, and then the people at the business go, oh, you might get asked to do a survey, and can you give me all fives on that? And I'm not putting the people down. This ain't the worker's fault. They didn't design this system. They're imprisoned by this system. They are on the suffering side of that system. When you got people go, I'm asking you, please, just give all fives. They're gonna ask you on a 1 to 5 how you rank the service you got, and if you could give all fives, that'd be a huge help. Because first of all, these businesses, if the people ask,
If you're coming up with some dumb plan where it's just like, well, we are really going to lean heavily on evaluating our employees by the automated responses from our, from the post-transactional survey we conduct. That's you force them to do a workaround on it. You force them to do a workaround. They ain't got no choice. They got to do a workaround. So they do a workaround. They go right to the customer and say, yeah, can you give all fives, please? But the look on their face, it's like, please, sir, can I have some more? Is it, can I have some more or can I have another? Because I think, and this is Great Expectations, I thought it was slop that they were getting put in the bowl. The kid was like, what's the kid's name again? Kirby? I can't even remember in that thing. But he's like, please, sir, can I have some more? It's cause it's slop in the bowl. But then I did see one production where they were giving out cinnamon rolls. And I think that's why I thought he said, please, sir, can I have one more? Like he wanted a second cinnamon roll. If we could get some clarity on that, I would appreciate it. Also, we just heard from Car Seat Headrest. That's right, from their album Teens of Denial. 4 years ago that came out. We heard Joe gets kicked out of school for using drugs with friends, but says this isn't a problem. That's one of the all-time great albums, one of the all-time great bands. And they were ahead of the curve when the one fella in the band was wearing a gas mask last year. Everybody's like, what's this all about? He knew. Will Toledo knew. Will Toledo knew. Get that out in the world. That the guy from Car Seat Headrest knew about coronavirus. Good band, man. Wanted to see him play live this year. One of the many bands didn't get to see live because that show did not happen. Other things to keep you abreast of, we are launching a new sticker over at the Patreon, American flag, USA Best Show sticker for everybody who is donating to the show over Patreon, which, by the way, is the only way the show makes money. Patreon. Patreon.com/thebestshow. That's how we make money. We ain't got no ads. Even though people want ads, we ain't got no ads. Somebody wrote me with an ad, with a business proposition that I thought was quite tempting, but then I'm going to pass on. It said, the feature film Body Swap would love to sponsor The Best Show with Tom Sharpling. Yeah, I'm doing this. I'm looking at it right now. Body Swap. No thanks. Could be a great movie. God bless you, filmmakers of Body Swap. Can't advertise on this. Wait, did they just do an ad on the show? Oh, no. Did I just do Ay, ay, ay. So anyway, you go to patreon.com/thebestshow, and if you're given $5 by December 1st, you will get one of those stickers in a $5 or more. Best Show sticker go in the mail to you. And we'll send other stickers. And I know people are waiting for patches and buttons and stuff. We're getting all that back on track. So just, you're on the Patreon, drop me a little line. We're making sure everybody gets what they're entitled to get. And also, make sure that your address is updated on the Patreon, please. The instructions I put up last night as a post on Patreon, so you can check that out to show how you make sure you have your current address listed so we can get you your sticker. Because some people giving at the $5 level did not give addresses. That's how that went. Because they didn't they didn't ask for it when they signed up. So we want to make sure you get what you want. So swing that over this way to the Patreon and get that Best Show sticker designed by artistic superstar Jeff T. Owens. We love you, Jeff. My Metal Hand. Check him out. Support him. He rules. And I know we said we were going to do like a white whale thing this week, where if there was a song or something you could not place, we're going to turn it over to the listeners. We're not going to do that this week. Hang tight. That idea will come. It got knocked off the board by Tom versus Dan, the Steely Dan showdown standoff. Dandoff. Is it a dandoff or a standoff? Okay, it's a standoff. Pat, any calls?
Yes, sir.
Throw me one, please. If only I could sustain my anger, right? I take a hard walk out of the line because you're mine. And I walk the line.
Now I recognize it.
Who's this?
This is Caroline in Brooklyn. Hey, Tom.
Caroline?
In Brooklyn.
Caroline in Brooklyn. Caroline says, right? Stephanie, not yeah. Stephanie says.
No, there's a Caroline says.
Oh, I know there is. I sang the wrong one, though.
They're all the same to me.
There's a Candy says and a Caroline says and a Lisa says.
I think Candy says is the best.
A lot of people were sezzing to Mr. Lou Reed back then.
Yeah, and he had something to say about it.
He did. What's going on, Caroline? How are you tonight?
Well, I'm great. I'm really excited that you're doing the show tonight, actually, because I have one for the topic.
What do you got?
All right. Well, I've been working on this all day, so I appreciate it, first and foremost. I think a lot of people don't like Steely Dan because their fans are insufferable, and I count myself among them. I should just say that right off the bat. I acknowledge it. It's a problem. So that's one of the strikes against them. And then the other one, I think, is that at the time when they came out, like, record labels didn't really know what to do with that fusion-y sound, so they were presented as a rock band. And for people who like rock from that era, which has a lot of iconic properties, Steely Dan is, like, not that. You know, they have guitars, like, they've got riffs and stuff, but they're not, like, a straight-ahead rock band. So probably a lot of people picked that up and they were like, oh, this is going to be a cool new rock band named after something in a William Burroughs novel. And then they turn it on and it was like smooth jazz. So I get that too. I think that contributes to the bad rep. In their defense, I will say, one, they don't take themselves very seriously, which is great because they're ridiculous and nobody does. They hate hippies, which I think a lot of sensible, good music acts do. They worked with a litany of fantastic musicians from different disciplines. You still hear their music on rock radio. You hear it on soul radio stations and R&B stations. And sometimes you hear it at dance parties because they've got a couple songs you can groove to. And they both are just like two sardonic, nebbishy Jewish guys from New Jersey who love the Marx Brothers and like beatnik literature and bad Pulp Fiction.
Well,
and they came up through the Brill Building, too. So
Caroline, I got to say, Caroline, you just convinced me.
You're kidding.
I like them less than I did before the show started.
Wow.
No. Look, I know all this stuff. Now it's my turn to talk, Caroline. And you listen to what I got to say.
Can't wait.
Look, I know what it's like to like something, and I know what it's like to not like something, to not have it work for you, to for it to elude you, the thing you cannot connect with. I know what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
You try, you push, you focus, you poke at it, you circle it, you go in this side, that side, trying to find some entry point to where it makes sense, and then you're just left. It just leaves you like, empty. It's like empty inside. Is there something wrong with me?
I have so many of those, like across different mediums.
And that's fandom. That's fandom, Caroline. Yep. You're just like, you watch all these other people being fans of the thing and getting it and loving it and having a good time. And I'm going to say this. I know everybody out there listens to think old Tom is a crab apple, right?
Is that what they think,
Caroline? You can say it.
I think people think you're discerning. I wouldn't say
that. No. You be honest. But did they? What's the word on the street? Old Tom's a crab apple?
I don't think discerning and crab apple are mutually exclusive. Let's say that.
Okay. All right. Do you think old Tom's a crab apple?
Personally, no.
Thank you. Well, you could. I would be fine with either.
I don't. I think your thing about fandom is totally accurate, too, because it's like, you know, the more somebody tells me to watch a great TV show, the less likely I am to like it or watch it at all. I hate when people think they know what I like. And I think for you, too, people probably make a lot of assumptions based on, like, the music you play and the things you talk about. Like, it's annoying when people prod you like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, there's fandoms. Star Wars and DC and Beyonce and the Stanley Kubrick and the Statler brothers. Well, maybe less on the Statler.
Canonical stuff. It's kind of like 101, though, a lot of that stuff. But
those are the fandoms that are insanely so focused and they're so locked in. And that's when you start to watch it and the fandom overtakes the thing that they are fans of, and you get turned off by the fandom, and the thing itself is not what you're focusing on anymore. You're focusing on the fandom.
Well, the fandom diminishes the thing itself too if the fans are awful. And to your point, it's not just Steely Dan fans, it's not just Marvel fans. It's like fandom in and of itself is the thing that like wrecks the art for you. You know,
they're like, because they're always like, what runs beneath the surface on that is there's a certain kind of smirky, smug satisfaction where they're like, I know what the score really is. And, you don't? And you're like, so it just makes you push back harder if you're somebody of a certain mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where look, I'm going to say this. I've heard every Steely Dan album. Every single one of them I've heard, except for the recent trash.
Listen to all of them? Like, you've taken the time to, like, sit down and listen
to every one? Every single one of them.
Oh, my God.
Wow. When you're outside the thing, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And you're trying to say, is it... Am I missing some sort of gene that makes this make sense? Are they truly right and I'm truly wrong? I don't know what it is. And then sometimes you're just like, no, I just think it's terrible. And I think they're misguided. And it's like, you think of somebody like, to me, the top of the pyramid is Frank Zappa.
That's top of the pyramid. One of those things that people who love Frank Zappa, like, love that they love Frank Zappa. And I live with someone who likes Frank Zappa, and I'll dabble, but I'm not like a devotee. So when it's on, I'm usually like, oh, is this Frank Zappa? I'm never in the mood for it. I'm never like, you know what I could go for is some Zappa right now, you know?
I feel like they should play Frank Zappa only at places where you're already frustrated to then see what happens if people start fighting. Like if you're like at like the car dealership, like the service center, you're getting your car – like you're waiting all day for your car to get fixed, sitting in like that lobby with the coffee and like the old magazines, and you're just sitting and you're already mad. You're already afraid you're going to pay $1,300 for your car to get fixed. And it's just like, it's already was supposed to be fixed 2 hours ago. Suddenly it's like something you heard just like boom, 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 boom. I went to the toilet. Toilet, right? And then you're just like,
yeah. I mean, I'm imagining like Good Morning America, like on mute on like a tiny TV in the waiting room, but like over Good Morning America is the most like screeching, weird time signature, purposely out there stuff you've ever heard. It's the last, or even like the grocery store, like next Wednesday, right? The day before Thanksgiving, and like everyone's trying to get turkey and stuffing. And then they just play down like, I can't even name a Frank Zappa. Oh,
Grand Wazoo. They play Grand Wazoo at top volume. be really cool, right? Look, I like, and I get it because I'm on the other side of this. There's things I'm fans of that I've talked to people where they're just like, I don't get it, man.
Like what?
Robert Wyatt. Danielson family.
People love Robert Wyatt.
But there's plenty of people who don't like him.
Well, they're
people weird. Are just like, oh, that gets on. That guy's voice drives me nuts.
Yeah.
And then like Danielson family, I love them to death. And then there'd be people I would try to turn them on to it. And they would just be like, I don't get it, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Are they people that like you, you know, you've got a pretty good handle on their.
Oh, yeah. Like, they're people. I was not dry. I wasn't dropping it on my mother.
Sure.
My mother listened to Ruth is Stranger Than Richard.
Yeah. Well, now you know what it is the prodded has become the prodder.
Mom, what you have to understand is he was in Soft Machine, then he was in Matching Mole, and then he fell out a window and he became paralyzed. He wasn't a drummer anymore, but then he started singing and Nick Mason produced him, and then they did a Drury Lane concert and Andy Summers, and then when he went on Top of the Pops, they just didn't want him on because he's in a wheelchair. And no. So I get it.
It's a tough self.
I've been on both sides.
Yeah, of course.
And that's why I come. That's why I come to you, Caroline, and to the audience. I say, hat in hand, teach me. But I also say, like Dr. William H. Joel said, DDS.
Of course,
you may be right. I may be crazy, but I may be right, and you may be crazy.
Yeah. Takes all kinds of people to make a world, doesn't it?
So what's a song I got to listen to?
Like by Steely Dan or in general?
By Steely Dan.
Well, I mean, you like more rockier stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Don't Take Me Alive would be a good one, or My Old School. They're both very guitar-driven.
Don't Take Me Alive, what album's that on?
I believe Don't Take Me Alive is on Countdown to Ecstasy, but I know some neckbeard is going to pop into my mentions and be like, oh, actually. So let's just go with Countdown to Ecstasy and My Old School. It might also be on that record of Katie Wise. Look, they all blur together. I've heard them all. Like, they all blur together. Oh, yeah.
I know this song. Like, doesn't this sound on some level like bad Paul Simon?
I think everything they do is satire. Like, their whole thing is that they hate themselves and they hate the people that love them and they hate all the cool people that they couldn't be. So it's satirical, and I think that tone is also something that puts people off. You know, they're just like the kid in the back of the class that's got a smart.
But what is that what is that satire on? The actual music.
It's a satire, I think. Well, it's a song about when they were in school at I believe Bard, which is in Annandale on Hudson in New York. And yeah, I know.
Now you gotta deal with these eggheads. They're eggheads, right?
Well, yeah, they had, shall we say, rather humble beginnings, though. So it's kind of a bootstrap Horatio Alger thing. Anyway, let's not get off topic.
No, that's on topic because you're talking to Charlie Bootstraps up in here.
Yeah, well, in that case, then maybe you would appreciate they had a very, very hard early lives.
Where did they grow up in New Jersey? I want to see where they grew up. I'll tell you how hard of a life they had. Nobody had a harder life in New Jersey than I did.
Oh, I don't doubt it. And I'm not implying that that they had it nearly as hard as you. But
I remember my bullet. He's also not a good singer. He's like a Roger Waters level singer.
I mean, yeah, there are plenty of singers that everybody likes or that a lot of people like that don't have great voices, you know?
I'm fully aware of that.
Yeah.
Where are Steely Dan from? Annandale on Hudson, New York.
No, that's where their school was.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theta Hamill.
very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Where did what do we want to look for?
On Wikipedia.
Where did, what's the guy's name in it again?
Walter Becker.
Don Fagan. Grow up.
He's a real weird one. He's
Passaic. All right. Nah, I could picture them rolling a hoop down the street with a stick.
Yeah. Tying a couple of, like, empty cans to a cat's tail.
Yeah, I definitely picture him doing that.
Yeah.
Now, look, I'm from New Jersey, too. You don't see me being satirical about everything. Well, actually, you do, but so, sorry. Never mind. Take that off the table.
New Jerseyans have a very wry sense of humor. I think it's something in the water there or something in the cranberries. Is it the cranberry that's the state fruit?
His dad was an accountant.
And?
They weren't poor. They moved to Fairlawn. Nah, this guy's got money. I don't buy it. I don't buy anything with this. Fairlawn, accountant father. Nope. Sorry, Caroline. Taking that one off the table.
Yeah, of course.
He was rolling a silver-plated hoop down the street.
No rich person ever became a good rock singer or a musician.
No, that's not true.
That we know. Are you sure?
So 80% of them are rich.
Well, now they are, since they're famous rock musicians.
Mm-hmm.
Who's a rock singer that grew up loaded? Not kids of rock singers, but like, you know, from the 70s or whatever.
Mr. David Crosby.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. Mr. Jim Morrison.
Wow, really? Oh, a lot of those hippie guys, huh?
Yeah, man. They had money.
Yeah. What happened in the dream, huh?
Not my dream.
Yeah, not mine either. And not Steely Dan's, for that matter.
All right, Carolyn. This is a great call.
Hey, thanks, Tom. Have a good night.
Have a great night. What do we got, Pat?
I'm going to line one.
Best show.
Hi, Tom. It's Tommy in Portland.
Tommy in Portland. What's up?
Not much. How are you doing?
Not a whole lot.
But,
What's going on tonight?
I just got off work. Going to heat up some Trader Joe's frozen cuisine.
Trader Joe's? What is it? You got? What are you getting?
Butter chicken, like Indian food from Trader Joe's.
And what are you throwing that in the microwave?
Conventional oven.
Mmm.
Get fancy.
That is very fancy.
Right.
What can I do for you, Chief?
Well, I actually had a white whale song, but I heard you're not doing that, so
I'll do it since you are on hold. Well, what can I do for you?
Oh man, I appreciate it. It's this like 60s kind of soul song kind of vibe, maybe 60s, early 70s. And it's got a horn section and the melody goes kind of like, like the bass.
Okay.
It's kind of just like that for a while. So that's kind of what I got. Tried to Shazam it, but asked people, but I don't know what it is.
How long have you been wanting to place this song?
A couple of years now, I think.
Sing it again. What kind of singer?
Like soul singer. I think it's a male singer.
And where did you first hear this song? Do you remember?
What was that?
Do you remember where you heard the song to give us context for where it might have been played?
I think on a radio station, on a local radio station.
All right.
So, yeah.
Dump, 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 dump. So if anybody knows what song that is, tweet it out if you can place it.
Oh, that's so awesome. Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it. Thank you, Best Show Community.
Yeah. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you later. Dump, 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 dump.
Going to line five, Tom.
All right. Hello, Best Show.
Bad sneakers and a pina colada, my friend. Stomping on the Avenue by Radio City. You know, that's where Big Star got that album title.
What album title? Radio City?
Yeah.
They got, wait, what is the song? Sing that again.
Bad sneakers and a pina colada, my friend. Stomping on the Avenue by Radio City.
Okay. I didn't know they were, I would not have placed Big Star as huge Steely Dan fans.
Oh yeah, huge. I mean, you can hear it in the grooves, right?
You can't hear any of that in the groove.
I can hear it, totally hear it. Oh yeah.
Sure. Well, who am I talking to?
Tom, this is Shep in Great Newbridge Shoals.
Shep in Great Newbridge Shoals.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever spoken to anybody from Great Newbridge Shoals before.
Yeah, it's an acquired taste here. It's, it's probably the grittiest area of Newbridge. And, it's down and dirty and it's got that stank on it.
Ooh, that stank.
I know. But I'll tell you, things have taken off since the Junior Demolition Derby Hall of Fame opened.
Oh, is that where that is?
It is, yes. And I'm sure you heard that Timmy Lindquist was here.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, he was the 1982 Junior Smasher of the Year.
Oh, and does he have a plaque up in the place or something?
Yeah, it's one of those things. You know how they have, like, the footprints or the handprints, at Grauman's Chinese Theater?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that, but they do a face print.
A face print into concrete?
Yes.
Cement?
And they really skimp on the quality of the cement, so they had to put their faces in there for, like, it's like 2 hours. It's sick.
How do they survive?
I don't know. I guess they have, like, some straws.
Oh, well, that sounds very dangerous.
It is. Yeah, you should see the footage of it. Oh, my God, it's XXX. No, I'm thinking of a movie I was watching. Forget it.
Shep, I got to make it out to that Hall of Fame, though.
You got to check it out. Hey, man, I know you're talking about the Dan. I love your show, but I want to make one suggestion, if that's cool.
Okay. What?
Would it kill you to play some Blind Joe Reynolds?
Well, Shep, I mean, this really isn't a music show, like a regular kind of music radio show. We play a song here and there, but, it's more of a call-in talk show.
Okay. That's too bad. I bet a lot of your listeners would love to hear him or some Cal Davenport.
I don't know who that is.
You're kidding.
Yeah. Cow Davenport.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go a little more, mainstream. How about, some Little Willie Littlefield. I'm thinking of Goofy Dust Blues, which is of course the flip side of the Falling Tears single.
I don't know it.
All right. How about, Luther Johnson? And obviously I'm talking about Snake Boy Johnson, not Luther Guitar Junior Johnson or Luther House Rocker Johnson. Those guys are absolute charlatans. What about Smokey Smothers?
Smokey Smothers? I don't know who that is.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Blind and Dumb Man Blues? And make sure it's the one from 61 on Federal, okay?
I don't know it. I don't know it. I don't know Luther Johnson or Smokey Smothers.
All right, what about Fannie Mae Goosby? I believe my man has got a rabbit leg.
I don't know it.
All right. Well, let's forget the old stuff. How about something newer? You got any Booba Barnes?
Who?
Booba Barnes.
Booba Barnes?
Yes. Oh my God. How about just throw on a Calvin Fuzz Jones record.
I don't know who that is.
Okay. How about I Want Some of Your Pie by Blind Boy Fuller?
I'm not familiar.
All right, what about Lightning Hopkins, Let Me Play With Your Poodle?
I don't know that song.
Oh my God. Okay, let's make it a little easier. How about what about Willie Big Eye Smith?
Sorry.
Barbecue Bob?
Sorry.
Peg Leg Sam?
Don't know it.
Or what about Scrapper Blackwell?
I don't know.
Lazy Lester?
Sorry.
Louisiana Red?
Not familiar.
Sunnyland Slim?
I don't know him.
All right, we'll just play some Big Smokey Smothers.
I don't have any. I don't know who that is.
All right, how about Moanin' Bobby Mayer, the Blues Bear?
Not familiar.
Little Smokey Smothers?
Mm-mm.
Little Max Simmons?
I'm not familiar. Sorry.
All right, what about Little Brother Montgomery?
I don't know who that is.
Boogie Woogie Red?
No.
Or how about Frankie Half Pint Jackson?
Not familiar.
Hip Link Chain?
I don't know Hip Link Chain.
All right, what about Robert Nighthawk?
No.
Shaky Jake Harris?
No.
Washboard Sam?
No.
Washboard Willie?
No.
What about Slim Harpo?
No.
What about Memphis Slim?
No.
How about Bumblebee Slim?
No.
Buster Pickens?
No.
All right, how about some Backward Sam Firk?
No.
Barkin' Bill Smith?
No.
Oh, you gotta have some Bull City Red.
No.
H-Bomb Ferguson?
No.
Oh my God, how about Bull Weevil Jackson? Gotta have that.
I don't, sorry. I mean,
I'm tapped out.
Okay. I mean, I got to take it. Those are all pretty obscure artists.
I can't believe you have a radio show and you're completely ignorant of this stuff. Tom, these are the building blocks of modern music. I mean, you've got to know this. Yeah, I know this stuff if you claim an even tenuous relationship with popular music.
I mean, I agree with you completely. That's foundational music. I don't know any of those artists. I've been doing this show forever. 25 years I've been in radio and I don't know any of those artists. How do you even find out about blues artists that obscure?
I don't know. I guess it's, you know, just decades of learning and living the blues. You've heard of people who are steeped in the blues, right?
Yes, I've heard of people who've referred to themselves as being steeped in the blues.
Well, I'm submerged in the blues. I live, eat, walk, talk, and frankly, fart the blues. But ugh,
I don't like that.
You don't like it at all? A little bit?
No, not at all.
Not at all. Okay. Look, sure, there are times I wonder if I've wasted my life in pursuit of becoming the best blues man I can possibly be, but then my band starts grooving and I know I made the right decision.
Wait, so you have a band?
What's
your band called?
We're called Shep Needledork and the Pure Blues Rampage. Why?
Shep Needledork?
Yeah.
That's your last name?
Just like it sounds. Yep, just like it sounds.
Okay.
Yeah. Look, I know it's not the coolest last name, but, you know, I'm the last of the Needle Dorks. And my old man made me and my wife, Janine, promise we'd do everything we could to keep the Needle Dork name alive.
Yeah, was that a rough one as a kid?
Oh, my God. Insane. I mean, teachers were beating me up.
Because your last name was Needle Dork.
Yeah, they were just like, you know, like the first day of school, they, you know, they read all the names and, you know, Timmy Anderson here, blah, blah, blah. They get to mine without fail. They start looking around. This is back in the day of, you know, of Alan Funt and Candid Camera. To a teacher, they all thought they were on Candid Camera.
Uh-huh. But you're just sitting there being like,
No, that's my real name, sir. That's how I talked back then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, they didn't like, they got a good laugh out of your name. I'm sorry about that, Shep.
That's okay. The kids with me too, and I'd be like, oh, please stop doing that. I can't help what my last name is. Can't believe I talked like that back then. So geeky.
Yeah. But you know, look at you now.
Right? Yeah. Hey, do you want to hear one of our songs?
Yeah, sure.
Killer. All right, strap yourself in. This one is called Sanctified Blues Man, and I hope you got your blues shoes on, because this thing has the skank on it. All right, here you go.
Shep?
Thank you, right? Yeah, you love it?
Shep?
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta say, there was not as much stank on that as I would have thought.
Wait, what?
You gotta forgive me for saying this, but, you seem like you're a walking encyclopedia of the blues, but after hearing, have you ever actually heard the blues?
Define heard.
You know what heard means, Shep.
Well, I've heard of herd mentality. Is it like that?
No, it's not like that. It's heard. Have you ever heard the blues?
No. Why?
Why on earth? I don't know what's going on here then. You just listed about 80 blues names, as obscure as you could get, but you don't actually know what they sound like? And you were very condescending about it also. That's another thing.
What? Oh, I don't, well, look, truthfully, I'm pretty new to the blues, all right? And I've been completely absorbed in this cool blues encyclopedia I found in the basement. And I don't know, I just love all that I've learned about it. I could read about it forever. And I know that's cheating if I've never actually heard any of the fairly large handful of artists I mentioned earlier.
It was more than a handful.
I said a large handful.
Okay, well, okay, I thought it was more than a large handful.
Okay, two scoops. All right. Look, I know it's weird, but I tell you, that book has really kept me occupied these last 8 months. You know, it feels like I've been stuck in this house for decades, right?
Well, look, I understand that completely. You're not going to get any argument from me. It's like this quarantine has been just so hard on everybody.
What quarantine?
Wait, what did you just say?
I said, what quarantine? What are you talking about?
What quarantine? Are you joking?
No.
You're not joking.
No.
You don't know what the quarantine that's been going on around the country and the world of people holed up in their homes avoiding the coronavirus.
What? No, that sounds like a movie. Are you thinking of Outbreak?
No, I'm not thinking of the movie Outbreak. No, it's been going on since March. How is this new?
I know you're thinking of the Andromeda Strain, which I've never seen, so I don't know what it is, but it sounds like that. Is that what it is?
It's not. I don't know what Andromeda Strain is about either, but I know that this is not a movie.
Okay.
Huh. How is this is news to you? But you said you've been felt like you've been stuck in the house for decades.
Well, replace it feels like I've been stuck in the house for decades with I have been stuck in the house for decades, and you're closer to the truth.
So, wait, hold on. So you haven't left your house for actual decades?
That's right, yeah.
Are you okay? Do you need help with anything?
Oh, no. I'm fine. You know, my daddy is a bit stern, and he prefers I not leave the house.
Wait, your daddy?
Yes.
How old are you, Shep?
I'm 58. Why?
Well, how old is your dad?
He's 103. Why?
Okay, well, that's very weird right off the top, but, okay, well, hold on. The song you played was called what again?
Sanctified Blues Man.
Cause that's, now that I'm thinking about it, that was a Paul Collins Beat song, I think. Rock and Roll Girl.
All right, you got me. Tom, I don't really have a band.
You don't have a band?
I don't. I thought you'd be impressed that I have a blues band because, you know, it's a proven fact that having a blues band is A, the biggest turn on for women, and B, the thing that men respect most.
That's a proven fact?
Oh, yeah. I've done my research. Now you do yours.
Okay.
Don't do too much research.
Yeah, that a blues band is the biggest turn-on for women and the thing men admire the most. No.
Yeah, you've heard those stories about Stevie Ray Vaughan's bassist walking into a club and the women just walking up and pawing themselves.
I've never heard any of those stories.
Well, it probably happened.
To Stevie Ray Vaughan's bassist.
Yes, I think his name was Tony Shanahan. Is that his name? I don't know.
I don't know what his name was. I don't know the bassist from Stevie Ray Vaughan's band. What's going on here, Shep?
It's a forgivable sin. Look, my dad is weird, okay? I'm straight up truth on that. He absolutely hates rock and roll, but he has a giant petrified H on for women he sees as, quote, troublesome and, quote, chronically delinquent.
Right. That's right. It's getting stranger now.
It's my life. It's all I know. Daddy was raised flagrant Quaker. And to Daddy, that song Rock and Roll Girl by the Paul Collins Beat is the audio encapsulation of his deepest, filthiest caramel cravings. It's sick.
What kind of cravings?
Caramel. Caramel cravings. Like that movie, Knowledge with
Carnal.
What is it?
Not caramel. Carnal cravings.
No, it's not. It's not like a corn kernel. It's caramel. The cravings are caramel.
No, they're carnal. Carnal.
Dude, you need to watch that movie, Caramel Knowledge. It's Anne Margaret. She works in a caramel factory. And then Art Garfunkel, he comes in and he sweeps her off his feet. And the whole thing was ripped off for an officer and a gentleman later. He comes into the factory, you know.
Shep, I don't know what to tell you. That's not what that movie's about. I don't get any of this.
Okay.
Well, your daddy thought that Paul Collins Beat song is the filthiest thing he ever heard.
Yes. Basically, that song is his version of pornography. And Rock and Roll Girl is the only record he allows in the home. And between you and me?
Yeah.
there are times late at night where I hear him playing the song on his little portable record player, and he's moaning in the weirdest aged ecstasy. It's pretty disturbing.
That sounds horrifying.
It's like, sometimes he says my name, which I hate. Okay, just straight up, I hate that, you know, and it's just like, oh, forget it, please.
That is very troubling. I can't believe that you let your I'm not going to call him your daddy like you do. Your father, this 103-year-old man, is running your life to this degree.
Well, look, it's daddy's house, and he runs a ship tighter than Dick's hat band. God, I love that phrase. That's just, I love that phrase. Anyway, and if daddy wants me to never leave this house and do his bidding, what other recourse do I have?
Well, you're an adult. You can't just leave?
Well, daddy controls all the finances, and I'll tell you, his grip on the purse strings is tighter than Dick's hat band. I could say that all night and never get tired of it.
Yeah, please don't.
Well, look, I know this whole situation is not healthy, and frankly, it's a real Hitchcock psycho situation, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, this is a very troubling situation, very weird. You said it's a psycho situation with your
dad? Yeah.
You mean, but in the movie Psycho, Norman Bates' mother turns out that she's dead and the corpse is sitting in a chair the whole time.
Is that right? Because daddy wouldn't let me see that film because it shows a shower, and to daddy, a shower drain is also full on pornography.
Daddy, your father has some very, very extreme views of what constitutes pornography.
He really does. He, as far as he knows, I haven't bathed since I was a teenager. I sneak in a little bath here and there.
Mm-hmm. Here and there.
Hey, so. Here and there, once every, that's a fortnight. Is it like 4 months? Because that's what I do.
Ooh, okay.
Okay. Wait, so I'm thinking about this. Are you floating the idea that my daddy is, if not dead, too decrepit to really stop me if I left the house?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to say with him being 103, yeah, I think it's a pretty real possibility.
Oh my God. Tom, I can't thank you enough. It's like, I feel like you've clipped the chains from my ankles and my hands. Oh my God. I think I'm going to do it. I really think I'm going to do it.
Really?
This is going to be the first day of the rest of my life. And Tom, I owe it all to you.
Well. That is, I want the best for you. You know, I'm rooting for you.
That means a lot to me, and I'm nervous. Here we go. I'm going to make a break for it, okay? Here we go. F you, old man. Nope, he's alive and he's positively murderous. Thanks a lot, Tom.
Shep? I think we lost Shep. That's weird. That's a weird one. Actually, I have some unanswered questions. I wanted to find out about the rest of the family. Weird stuff. We're already getting some reports on that song for that young man who called earlier. He said people are saying it's an Otis Redding song called. Fa 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 fa.
Bam, 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 bam sad, sad song, y'all. Sad song is all I know. I keep singing.
I wonder if that's the song. Young man, that young guy named Tommy is listening. I think we might have found your song. Best show listeners coming through for you. Pat, any other calls?
Full phone bank.
Give me one. And we got, is our guest anywhere to be found?
Not yet.
Now, who's that?
This is Dudio.
Oh. Oh, hi, Dudio.
Hi, Tom.
This is one of these Steely Dan fans, this Dudio. Guy loves them.
I do. I do love them.
But you know they, you know they're awful, right?
Oh, I know they're awful. I know they're completely terrible, but I do love them. Yeah. It's another one of those, you know, Gary Gore classics that he'd crank every Saturday.
Your dad would prank Steely Dan?
He pranked them every Saturday. He had Walter Becker's, home phone.
Uh-huh.
And it was his favorite thing to do. And then all the calls ended when Dad died. So
you think that Walter Becker would have noticed the West Virginia phone number coming up yet again on a weekend?
I don't know. I think this was in the time before everyone had caller ID. That's when prank calling was good.
Hey, Daddy, we go. You going to prank him again?
Some say he was the Red of classic rock.
Jason's papa?
Yeah. Gary Gore.
Hey, Dad. Dad, we got to prank him.
That's exactly how I would say it. Dad, it's Saturday.
Daddy, it's Saturday. We got to prank. Got to prank Walter Becker. Show him how we do it in West Virginia.
Just out on the porch.
Pat, give me a call, please.
We have another one on line five.
And let me know when. Is it our guest?
I'm not sure. Jason, you're saying not yet on your end, correct?
He is joining momentarily.
All right. Well, let me take a call while you get him set up. Not line five, though.
Okay. Here's line one. You're on with Tom.
Hello.
Best show.
Hey Tom, how you doing?
Oh,
this
good.
Is
Zach. Who's this?
This is Zach in Atlanta.
Zach in Atlanta, you know where I stand on the Steely Dan, right? Is that what you're calling about?
I am. I'm here in support of Team Dan, though.
You're calling up in support. See, even just saying Team Dan is a turnoff.
Yeah, it's true. It is. You know. I'm not in support of Team Dan fans, but I am in support of the band itself. I mean, you kind of have to temper your expectations for this band a little bit, I guess.
So what do you maniacs do when you go see these concerts, when you're at the Beacon Theater watching them do a run of shows? You all seem to hate the fans. You all think that the other fans are the worst.
Oh, they're in complete, you know, despise the fans. But
would you all say that?
Rock and roll, and sometimes rock and roll punches you in the gut. Sometimes it's a suplex. You know, their music's more like if rock and roll was like a warm bowl of beef consomme.
No, their thing is like if you ordered a tuna melt and it showed up cold at the table. And then you asked if they could bring it back, and then they bring it back. There's an ice cube on top of it. Can you warm this up?
Yeah, I mean, but a cold tuna fish sandwich is good. I mean, sometimes you go into a basement with the wood paneling and there's a beanbag chair down there. And sometimes you go into the basement and there's a collection of chips in a bottle.
So what am I missing here? Tell me what I'm missing. Teach me.
Well, you know, okay. So everybody knows that the first Steely Dan record is unlike the other records. You know, they're a little... It's a little bit more, it's less pretentious, maybe.
The first record is called what now? Countdown to Ecstasy?
No, the first record.
Can't Buy a Thrill.
Can't Buy a Thrill.
And this record has on it See, this is one of those records, because Steely Dan, like the first time I heard them, I was on the radio. I would have heard them on classic rock radio. Would have heard Reeling in the Years and Do It Again, both on this first album. But the thing is, I was just like, no, these are serviceable songs. But to me, they were no different than like, they sounded like overplayed versions of like Jerry Rafferty songs. Woman, right down the line. Like, that's better. That's like a, he can get caught. If he's playing that, so he has a boom, dimp, boom, dimp, boom, dimp, ba, doo, doo, boop. No, Jerry Rafferty didn't do all that stuff. I got a cassette of the one with the Katie Lied. It's the first thing I bought by them. I thought it just sounded so stuffy and boring to me as a kid. And look, I'm a kid. I don't get it. It's not for me necessarily, but it didn't click for me. I knew the hits on the radio. But then as an adult, people started being like, oh yeah, I love Steely Dan. And other people be like, no, Steely Dan are awful. Like there was a definite demarcation line there between the people that liked them and the people that didn't. Then suddenly one day, all these people start going, I like Steely Dan now. I like Steely Dan. Now I think I like Steely Dan. Then you go from that to, oh man, the Dan. They're calling them the Dan. And then it was just off to the races where it's like, oh, you're dumb. You don't like the Dan? What's your problem, man? But yeah, I tried.
I have some evidence here. You know, you mentioned Countdown to Ecstasy. There's a track on there called, what's it called? The Boston Rag. Right? So if you listen to the first few minutes of Boston Rag, you know, it doesn't sound like, Jerry Rafferty or whatever. It almost could sound like an outtake from the Grand Wazoo.
An outtake. So what, one that wasn't good enough for a Frank Zappa album. A guy who put everything out. A song that Frank Zappa would say, yeah, this one doesn't fit on one of the 40 albums I'm putting out this year. Boston Rag. So this is the thing you think is going to make me like them. The only thing I want right now is a Boston Rag to stuff in my ears. So I don't have to hear any more of that.
You know, you have sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You take away the sex, you're left with jazz. And not everybody likes jazz. So
here's the thing. I like jazz. This sounds like somebody who thinks they're fixing jazz, this music. This sounds like they think they know better than jazz. They actually feel like they're just like, yeah, jazz. Of course we love jazz. I think we can fix it a little bit. That's the tood I get off them.
Yeah, I'll allow that. That could be true.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was supposed to be convincing you to like Steely Dan, not for me to dislike them.
Oh, I think we might be going the other way.
We might be going the other way here.
Nobody's making the points. Hang up on this guy. He's not making no points. These Steely Dan fans. Boston Rag? What are they going to put in front of me next? That Toodaloo song? It's one of the worst things I ever heard in my life. Check this out. East St. Louis Toodaloo.
Wow, wow, wow.
is so bad. It's not, jazz is better than that. That's not jazz. Did anybody ever tell the fans of this that at any point they were free to just go listen to jazz? Actual jazz. East St. Louis Toodaloo. You know what this is like? It's like those bad singles that Paul McCartney would put out. When people would say Paul McCartney's terrible, and they wouldn't be wrong when he would put out like Walking in the Park with Eloise, like these corny old-timey records. But the thing is, he would put them out under different names. They wouldn't be like major albums, wouldn't have those songs on them. They'd be like dumb collectibles. East St. Louis Toodaloo. Barf this out. Even McCartney on his worst day would be like, oh, I don't think I can do that one. Oh, East St. Louis Toodaloo. No. They put trash, like they put it out on the Country Hams. Names like that. Yikes. Any other calls?
It's a full phone bank.
Give me one call, then we'll move to our guest.
Going back to line one.
Wonk, 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 wonk. Wonk, 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 wonk. So we're doing the Steely Dan show. Tom versus Steely Dan fans. Nobody is showing me a gosh darn thing tonight. Nobody's pulling no lyrics to say, listen to the words on this. And the other thing I realize, you Steely Dan fans, you all hate Steely Dan fans. You all think you're the exception. Well, I'm not a complete piece of garbage, but every other Steely Dan fan is awful. Oh, I know the fans are terrible. Not me, though. You're all terrible. I'm starting to see you're all terrible. Besho, hi.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, are you there?
Oh, I'm here. To whom am I speaking?
Hi, Tom. This is Jack calling from Melbourne, Australia. How are you this afternoon?
Jack from Melbourne, Australia. For a second, I thought it was Wally Wacky Man.
Hey, I like Steely Dan. You're not a Steely Dan fan? You don't like monkey in your soul?
What can I do for you, my friend?
I'm calling with one for the topic. I've got two that I'm hoping they're both big swings, and I'm really hoping I can get you there, Tom.
No, it's what do you got?
All right, so you're familiar with the Mountain Goats, John Darnell?
I am fully familiar with the Mountain Goats.
Excellent. I know you've got a personal
new album, Getting Into Knives. It's a great album. I mean, look at this. That's a major one in the catalog, that album.
Oh, I definitely agree. I think it might be, I wouldn't say it's my all-time favorite, but like of the last run, I would definitely say this one's the best.
Oh, it's up there. The albums have all been great year after year. This one is somehow they found an extra step on it. It's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mountain Goats.
It just makes you think like, you know, like, oh, if I could just write one of these, I'd be set.
Yeah. So Mountain Goats, what about them?
Yep. John Darnell, this is actually the first thing that got me into Steely Dan was, in about 2002, he wrote a column at Pitchfork called 10 Records That Render Life Bearable. One of his records that render life bearable.
Oh, the render life. I thought he said render life terrible. I was going to be like, okay, well, that makes sense. Render life bearable. Okay.
Bearable, yes. So number two, we picked Steely Dan's Gaucho, which is probably the most Steely Dan of all of the Steely Dan records. And
Gaucho. That's the one that, if you can believe it, this is Steely Dan losing interest in being Steely Dan.
That's one way of putting it, yeah.
It's even when Steely Dan realized they didn't want to, they didn't want Steely Dan to exist.
I think I'm not sure I agree with that, but I see where you're coming from.
So what's a song on Gaucho that I should be listening to?
So I just wanted to read what he had to say about the record, and I can suggest one if that's okay.
Of course. Go ahead, please.
Yep. So this is quoting John Darnell. He said, people use words like mellow when they talk about Steely Dan. People should be lined up and shot. Gaucho is as desperate a version of the world as if it's available anywhere. Knee-deep in cocaine and Jose Cuervo gold. Ironic, not in our sad postmodern sense of the word, but in its effusive, ugly splendor that the term really implies. Letter perfect in every way.
Okay. Look, I love John Darnielle. He also hates every Beach Boys song.
Very eloquent guy.
He's like the Beach Boys. I love the Beach Boys. Something for everybody.
He doesn't like the Beach Boys, or he does?
He does not.
He does not like the Beach Boys. I didn't know that.
He did it when we did a panel in L.A. He said he was not a Beach Boys fan. So,
okay. Well, I'm a huge Beach Boys fan.
So. No, well, seems like somebody's got a little crisis now dropped on their plate.
And so, look, has that quote at all piqued your interest?
I know the songs are about coke. I know that. Jose Cuervo?
All right. Yeah.
It's like a bad Alan Alda movie.
All right. Can I take my second shot?
Of course. Of course. And I appreciate you doing this.
Oh, sure, sure. So I wanted to say as well that
Let me just ask you real quick before you do this next one. When people say, you hear them say, oh, Tom's a crab apple. Is that true? Is that what they're saying?
Look, I obviously I'm not on the streets in New Jersey like you are, or Lipstick City. So I haven't heard that personally, but maybe it just hasn't made it to Australia yet.
So in Australia, nobody's saying, oh, Tom's a crab apple.
No, you have a spotless reputation here on the streets of Melbourne.
So what's the second half of this, my friend?
One of the things you personally have, not been happy about is the production on Steely Dan Records. And I can absolutely understand that. It's probably my least favorite thing about the Dan.
Dan! You called them the Dan!
I did. Is that a new girl?
That doesn't make you feel dirty at all?
That doesn't make me feel dirty. It's just a nickname.
Doesn't make you feel like it's like you're just like you're hanging out with people that you don't want to hang out with? The Dan?
No, I'm hanging out with you, Tom.
Well, you're sweet to say that. That doesn't sound like the thing where you're like there's a guy. Doesn't seem like there's a guy that would show up at the party that everybody called the Dan. That's all I picture. Oh, the Dan is here.
What's up, everybody? It's me, the Dan. We're going to party or what? The Dan is here. Let's party.
Who said that you were starting to convince him that he didn't like Steely Dan. He might have had a point. You're starting to get under my skin. I'll admit it.
Starting to make you question a little bit, huh?
What's up, guys? The Dan is here. The party can start now. Party can't start till the Dan's here.
Yeah, some 40-year-old cracking onto 18-year-olds. The Dan.
What's your name, honey? My name's the Dan. You like to party?
That's the thing. A lot of his songs are directly about characters that are exactly like that.
Yeah, I get it. I like frustrating characters. I like annoying characters. Look, this is a band. This is a band. You got to keep this in mind. They kicked Chevy Chase out because he wasn't enough of a load. Chevy Chase. Chevy Chase wasn't enough of a douche to be in this band. This is a band that is so douchified that Chevy Chase didn't make the cut. What's your favorite song by them?
Okay, so
give me the one that'll swing.
You said that you dislike the production on Steely Dan Records.
Yeah, it sounds like stereo demonstration rock. Sounds like I work at a high end stereo store and I'm trying to just be like,
check out these speakers. These speakers are $6,500 a pair.
What's that?
I was hoping not to remind you of this because it's pretty good ammunition.
Yeah, what's that?
No, about the stereo store.
Oh, don't worry, please. That was the first thing I thought when I was doing. Because picture you're in the stereo store and it's like,
check this out. Listen to those speakers. You hear that bass? Look how clean it is.
Clean! Look how clean it is. Everything's clean. This is the one thing Bruce Springsteen was just like, all these records sound so clean now. Nobody records in the same room. All right, so go ahead.
You don't like how clean the records is. So what I want you to do is to pull up, there is a song that they never recorded in the studio. It's just like a studio demo that they have called The Second Arrangement.
The case you're making, I got to start going to songs they didn't put out?
Yeah, for real. Check this one record
out. It sounds like you're conceding. You're literally saying to me, I know this. I know the eight albums are terrible. Here's one that didn't make it on the eight albums. It's good. This reminds me of when I was on the late Great Harry Whittles podcast. What's the name of the song now?
Please give me away.
Give me the name of the song, Chief.
The Second Arrangement is the name of the song.
Steely Dan, The Second Arrangement.
Yeah.
All right. So I got to listen to demos now of them.
That was diabolical.
It's a commercial.
I'm doing is that a YouTube ad or something?
For the boys. Yeah, it was a YouTube ad. This song?
Yeah.
All around the wine, girl, I've got just you and in this whole wide world.
Now this, you understand that there's a difference between not being clean and something being a demo.
I understand that, but I was thinking maybe we get you off the production. You can appreciate the other aspects.
No, we can't. We can't. The albums, the proper catalog sounds the way it sounds. God bless you, my friend, but thanks for the call.
All right. Look out for yourself, Tom. Bye-bye.
You too. Nice guy. Nice guy. Fall down with a wing and a lamb. I don't know. Nobody's coming. Nobody's making no points tonight. Brett, am I right? Brett left. That's fine. Dudio, any points?
No points.
No. I'm ready to learn. Nobody's bringing anything to me that makes me want to hear, making me warming me up. Give me some lyrics, everybody. Oh, the lyrics. You got to hear the lyrics. Oh, give me some. Give me some. Read some lyrics to me. My guest on?
He is here.
Bring him on, please.
Hello?
No, unlike Steely Dan, this is a guy that makes everybody gets it, everybody loves it. This guy's a comedian, an actor, a musician, a writer, activist. Is that fair to? I always like when people call themselves activists in like their hyphenate announcement things for who they are.
Oh my God!
We got John Daly on. How are you, man?
Hey, what's up? How are you?
It's my guy.
Thank you.
Thank you for that intro. I'm a little nervous because I heard that you're a bit of a crabapple.
Wait, you heard old Tom's a crabapple?
Old Tom, you all, yeah, I've heard a lot, you know, been talking to people, and I hear you're a bit of a crabapple.
Oh, no. Can we raise John a little bit in the mix?
Check, check. Check, check, check.
Is he loud enough?
Hi.
Hey, John, any way you can make it a little louder on your end?
Let me do that. Check, check, check.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. My focus right. Getting my focus right hooked up. Perfect.
John Daly. At John
Daly. At John Daly, J-O-N-D-A-L-Y, on Twitter.
Now, this guy.
Yeah.
He does a little bit of everything.
Yes.
And he now has records coming out.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
Well, I have been making music for a few years with my friend Cyrus Garmeni, and I've made some parody songs, and now I'm making original songs and kind of mixed with parody songs. And it's I made this Red Hot Chili Peppers parody called Abracadabralifornia in 2014. And then in 2018, I made a song called I'm Your Dad, which is a diss song to the rapper, the mumblecore rapper Lil Xan, who, you know, dissed me on Twitter, basically. So I wrote an entire song and dissed him back.
It was one. This is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. First of all, this record, the A side is the Red Hot Chili Peppers song,
yes.
And
the B side is the Lil Xan song,
which. You're on social media, and Lil Xan says what about you?
He said, I said some, and not calling him out at all, like tweet about mumble rappers' face tattoos. Like, not a good tweet. Like, it was like, I think you're going to regret those face tattoos or something like that. But his fans picked it up and were like, Lil Xan looks good with his face tattoos. And he was like, I guess you're jealous of me. Are you jealous of my wealth as well? That's exactly what he wrote. And so I was just like, you know, F you. And me and Cyrus made this song called I'm Your Dad. And the premise of the song is like, I'm his dad. I'm Lil Xan's dad.
And you
should behave.
So you go and you record a full song.
Mm-hmm. And I found out that the next Tuesday he was putting out an album with Diplo. And so we added the line, Diplo's your stepdad, I'm your real dad.
Mm-hmm.
And put it out. And I got to say, got better reviews than his album. But I want to reach out to Lil Xan, and I want to work with him.
So this is a little bit of an olive branch.
Yeah, making fun of him and writing a diss song is I want to quash the beef in a public forum, you know, make it cool, you know, Instagram live or something crazy like that, you know.
So Lil Xan, if you're listening, which I think there's a pretty good chance he's listening.
He's definitely into the best show.
John Daly, your parodist,
yes,
is looking to team up.
Let's do a talk house. Let's do
Daly Xan. And that the Red Hot Chili Peppers song had the greatest origins.
Right.
It was a Super Bowl. It started with the Super Bowl, right?
It started with, well, the Super Bowl was announced. We had already kind of written half of the song. Because we wanted to do a Red Hot Chili Peppers parody, but then the Super Bowl they played with Bruno Mars came, like, it was announced that they were going to play. And so then I was like, okay, let's finish this. And we finished it and then made a fake website, that is still up, rhcp2014.com, I believe is still up, and made it look like it was sponsored by our iHeartRadio and Coca-Cola and all this stuff. and K-Rock and all this stuff, and offered it as like a free download because everyone loves a free download, and then people downloaded it, and then people immediately started to review it badly, like reviewers reviewed it, and then it kind of got viral and like ended up being reviewed a few times, most notably by Yahoo Music, who was appalled at the new Red Hot Chili Peppers song. And how can they possibly squeeze any more, out of this, California thing?
Yeah. Like, cause that was the
review.
I don't think I've laughed as hard as I did the first time I heard this song, which is now on, it's on a single, a double A side, as they used to call it in the recording biz.
This is definitely a double A side, and it's a great stocking stuffer. And it is again the peppers on the front, and you get the there's a Red Hot Chili Peppers symbol on it, but it has 9 spires like that wheel they have. I made that, but it's 9 spires. So if you see it with 9. You know it's John Daly, and so they can't sue me. It's not the Red Hot Chili Peppers, it's me. Very exciting. I forget what. But it's 7 inches, 7 inch, and my main record comes out next year. And both of these records are coming out on Northern Spy, which is a record label that I signed with. Thanks in all part to you, Tom. So thank you for that.
Wait, what? So this is because look, that's a great label. Northern Spy is a great label. Been a fan of so much of their stuff, and they like Best Show. And then I think we were talking during one of our quarantine interviews.
Yeah, when you were in my driveway, or you were in your car, and I was on a 20-foot long cable in probably the first few weeks of quarantine.
Yeah, we're trying to do shows as much as possible, and you had mentioned you were putting music out and that you were looking for a label potentially. And then they reached out.
Yeah, they reached out. I just kind of mentioned it on the show and they reached out, and then we, are putting out 2 records. So
exciting.
Great. So fun. Yeah.
And the single comes out when?
This comes out on Record Store Day, Black Friday. That is November 27th. So it'll be a lot of local record stores, and you can go to my Instagram or Twitter and click the link in the bio to pre-order it. But it's on the kind of Record Store Day Black Friday thing.
So isn't that so exciting that there's going to be people on Record Store Day lined up outside of a record store with their checklist, and then they're going to run in and they'll be like, do you have any of the John Daly record left?
They're going to be like, okay, Gaucho, Aha, John Daly.
These are the 3 records I need. 108-gram copy of Gaucho. You got that? And you got the Aha box. And I need the John Daly single.
So he's like, you ever notice when anybody does impressions, when they do that voice, it is not like, so I'm talking to my brother, and he's like, I want to go do the thing. Like, it's like, boy, you must think very highly of your brother, huh?
No, that's your average Dan fan voice. That's like,
yeah, that is, you know, the Dan fan.
Yeah.
No, this is look, this is so exciting that you got this record coming out.
I'm so psyched. Yeah. Check it out.
Yeah, and we're talking about a full length next year.
Full length next year, probably next summer or fall. We're not really sure, but very excited.
And hopefully by then, everybody can, maybe you could do a live thing somewhere.
Hopefully I can go on a tour. Yeah, I'd love to tour. And I just went on my first tour in December, and I was planning on doing another one, and then this happened. So hopefully we can make it happen again.
Yeah. No, you'll get it. You'll get it.
Post-vaccine.
Post-vaccine.
Yeah, give me that vaccine, baby.
I want the vaccine. I'm going to say it right now.
I'll take any vaccine. I'll take Putin's.
I'll take Putin's vaccine. Look, I've been trying hydrochloroquine.
Oh, good.
I've been taking it every day.
Yeah.
I dip it in a little bit of bleach.
Good. And you're feeling good.
Then I stick a flashlight in my mouth.
Right.
And I try to like light up the insides because the light does some good work.
Well, some people are, have been talking about that. Yeah.
That was a great day when, when the leader of the free world was just kind of like figuring out new ideas for how the technology might, like as if he was solving the thing on the spot. Like,
yeah, just riffing. He was riffing the most dangerous, like literally riffing poisoning yourself. How about you poison yourself?
In front of everybody. Not even like in a, it would be one thing if it just like it would be like the kind of thing that like 5 years later people would say, there was a meeting, in the, where the president started suggesting maybe people should consume bleach or shine a light in their down their throats to light up because that seems to be make to fight the virus. But like he didn't say, but he said it in public
on the world stage.
On the world stage, he was doing these speculations.
I feel like I remember that because it was one of the moments where pretty late in the game where he achieved a new low.
Yes.
It was like another low, like, whoa, I can't believe you went lower. And that only had, like, that dwindled after a while, like the curve of like going lower.
Yeah. That was like, he's kind of just like, found a new low. How about that? He did it. I did not think that was going to happen.
Yeah. Me and Stephen Miller, we found a new low. We're going to go and suggest poisoning yourself with bleach. All right. That's our president. Congratulations. That's how he's using the world stage.
Now, John Daly, at John Daly on social media.
Mm-hmm.
People know you best from Hail Caesar. They know definitely, you from Kroll Show.
Kroll Show, yes.
They know you from Betas.
Betas, huge, yes.
What else do they know you from?
What
do people Hill recognize Caesar, you for when you're out and about?
Best show, just best show. Kroll Show mostly. Kroll Show and Curb Your Enthusiasm a little bit, some, you know, once in a while. But yeah.
Oh, that's right. Cause you on this last season were, you had a multi-episode, arc. You were a mail carrier.
Yes. Yes. Very cool.
And I want to just say this to anybody listening. I've had the privilege of working with this guy. We did a couple of things together. And I saw him in his element. I saw him doing the prov. I saw the prov.
Yeah.
I saw the prov. I saw the scripted. I saw the prov. I came away from that first time. I said, you know what? This guy's a heavyweight.
Oh, thank you.
This guy's a heavyweight. Would it be possible for you to tell me, I've asked you every time, almost every time I see you, I say, can you please recount your encounter with the Dice Man?
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, we did the Postal Service video again, which you mentioned, and we got to, we zoomed with Slash. And so I just want to say you made zooming with Slash happen for me. And that is something that I'll never forget. So
that was a real fun time. And I can also say, not that we're looking for credit, but I do believe that you and I probably won the election with this video.
I think we did. Yeah. I held up a sign that said, you're welcome. I walked downtown to a Skid Row and just held up a sign.
Sure.
Just,
you're welcome.
Yeah. Good Lord. So I was doing a movie called Masterminds and, it was with Leslie Jones. So I went to the Comedy Store and to meet her, and I saw her, I was going to see her perform and stuff. And I parked and I went into the back parking lot and I saw, should I say who it is?
No, you don't have to say who it is if you don't want.
Super nice guy that I guess I won't mention, but, Yeah. And so went up to him, a comedian. I was like, hey, what's up, man? And he was like, weird. He was like weird to me, uncharacteristically weird because I know him. And he was like kind of dismissive. And I was like, oh, what are you? Okay. I guess this guy's Hollywooding me. All right. Yeah. What? Okay. I'll go into the Comedy Store and see the show or whatever. No big deal. So I, and then I'm like, hey, and he's like looking at me. So he's looking at me super weird. And then out of the shadows, I hear, who is this? What are you doing? I'm like, oh, hey, oh. And I said, I think that I said, Dice. Or hey, Dice. He comes out of the shadow. I didn't know my friend was talking to Dice, and that's why he was looking at me with consternation. So yeah. He was like, I can't break away. And he goes, Dice comes up and goes, we're having a business conversation. Okay? Walk away. And I was like,
walk away.
Okay. Yeah. Sure, yeah. And he goes, walk away. I walked away into the shadows, just like, oh my God. I was like, thank God that happened. Thank God.
That is so much better than if you walked up to your friend and your friend was just like, hey, this is Dice. And you were just like, hey, Dice, what's up? And then he went, nice to meet you. And then you got the best version of a Dice story.
Oh, yeah.
Full
schoolyard Dice. Walk away. Just a bullying me.
Business meeting. Business discussion.
Business discussion, yeah.
We're having a business discussion. Walk away.
Yeah. He just thought I was a fan, super fan, which, you know what? He was right.
Yeah.
So there you go. I'm a huge fan.
Since
childhood.
Yeah. I like him now with his, he has like a paper, or like a newsboy cap and Jiminy Glick sunglass. Like his glasses are like Jiminy Glick when he reaches into his pocket and pulls out those oversized glasses.
Yeah.
Like those are Dice's actual glasses now.
Oh man, I want to see Glick and Dice. Glick interview Dice. That would be legendary.
Yeah. Yeah. So you, John, you got the record coming out. What else is in the pipe? Everything's on hold. I know you had dreams. I know you had 2020 dreams.
Yeah, 2020 was going to be big. I'm doing the record and doing some jobs and just wating to tour and stuff till next year, making more music and making videos. So I've got 3 videos out and I've got a bunch in the can. And I just recorded one with Colleen Green, shot one with my friend Dan Longino and Colleen Green, who is the best.
She's so great. Colleen Green is so amazing.
Yeah. So me and Colleen Green have 2 duets together now, and I think we're going to make a EP or something.
That's so cool. I like that you're one of these comedians. You don't say why, you say yes.
I'll take it. Yes.
You try it.
I try it. Yeah, I do. I try stuff. I get out there, take a few swings, and here we go. Yeah.
Now, when all of this is over and the world is back, will you resume your monthly show?
Oh, RIP the satellite. Yeah.
Right.
I would love to resume my show. And, I did a monthly residency at the satellite, for a year and a half, pretty much. And then it is now gone, unfortunately. So yeah, I'll definitely, pick it back up somewhere.
I think you check out, Staples Center.
Oh yeah.
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 Give them a call.
There's a lot of parking.
The parking is better than over at the satellite.
Definitely. Yeah, the satellite's a tough park. And
more food options.
It's definitely more central. Yeah.
Yes. It's downtown.
Yeah, I think the Staples Center I'd do it on ice.
That'd be amazing. Daily yeah. on ice.
Daily on ice. Yeah, playing the sax, skating around.
You just picture the lights go down, and then suddenly a single spotlight goes out, and then suddenly you see, like, and you're on skates blowing that saxophone.
Yeah. Animated characters from our childhoods just skating around. Like,
yeah.
It's you. It's the ice capades. The ice capades.
Skating That's around with Inspector Gadget and
Penny.
Pikachu.
Captain Caveman.
It's you and John Daly and friends.
Yeah.
And they're just all cartoon characters in costumes skating around at the Staples Center.
Muppet Babies.
All the Muppet Babies. Well, John, this is what I want to say.
Yeah.
You are a fan of music and you're a fan of comedy and you're a fan of saxophones.
Yeah.
Next Friday is what you do. You finish your Thanksgiving, your quarantine Thanksgiving dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You finish it up. Then you wrap some bubble wrap around you or whatever you got to do to stay safe.
Right.
You go sit outside your local record store. You wait till Friday morning. They let you in and you get the John Daly record. Black Friday.
That's right.
Record store day.
That's right. Abracadabra, California.
It's so great.
Thank you, buddy.
Now, you know I love you, buddy. And I
love you, too.
I look forward to us being face to face again.
Oh, my God. It'll be so great. Let's get that vaccine, baby.
Yes, let's do it. I'm pro-vax.
I'm pro-vax, absolutely.
So yeah. Let's vax it up.
In every way, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, John, and I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right. Take care, buddy.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Later.
John Daly. How about that? You like that? Give me another call, please. From a Dan fan. Katie lied.
Hello?
Hello. To whom am I speaking?
Hi, Tom. This is Jessica in Lincoln, Nebraska. How are you tonight?
Jessica in Lincoln, Nebraska. I know you, Jessica. How are you?
You do. I'm wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. Now, Jessica, tell me all about how much you love Steely Dan.
Well, I actually wanted to call and reinforce your previous opinion. I am not a fan of the Dan.
You're not a fan of the Dan. Now, okay. All right.
What
is your relationship with Steely Dan?
Well, I used to work, for a long time I worked in kitchens, and in a lot of kitchens, you don't always get to pick the music, unfortunately, so classic rock radio seems to be something that people like to pick, and you get hearing all those Steely Dan singles over the years, and not my thing. It's not for me. And I know I used to play music a lot around town, and a lot of the prog or the jam band dudes I knew, they loved Steely Dan, and so that's enough for me to go, no thanks.
That was enough to hit the old veto button.
Well, yeah, it's like, wait, you guys play like a 45 minute, 50 minute songs. I'm not gonna trust your opinion on what's good.
Yeah, man. Look, I gotta say, Jess, Steely Dan, I grew up with this as a kid. And those records were on the radio. And I don't know, I'm sure you had classic rock radio as a child.
Of course.
And Jessica, you heard when you close your eyes and you picture, do you think of Reeling in the Years? What do you think of Peg?
Yeah, Reeling in the Years is the one I think, you know, and it's, to a certain degree, classic rock ruins good songs too. And so when the song...
See, that's a good point. That is a good point. Classic rock can take a song that if it was not run into the ground, you might be okay with.
Right. There might be Pink Floyd songs that I would still like and enjoy, but now I cannot because of that. But I don't know. I think those Steely Dan songs kind of stink anyway.
Yeah. I just, look, it, I, I, I did not understand where when they became the greatest is the part that eludes me. If they were around and people were just like, yeah, Steely Dan, I guess I, you know, that's fine. Like Seals and Croft and Steely Dan and America and Poco, be like, yeah, it's just some 70s rock. But then when that transformation happened and suddenly it was like, do you know who the best band ever is? It's Steely Dan. And I was just like, what? What? Steely Dan?
How does that happen?
You don't think they're the best? No, I didn't know that we were even discussing the potential of them being the best. Well, they are the best. I don't think they are. Then suddenly the conversation was, that you don't think the Dan are the best? Then it's just that thing where the club has formed and I am out. I am not a member of the club, and I just don't get it. And
well,
then
I sympathize enough. I've tried with Fish, I've tried with the Grateful Dead, and you know I can find maybe a track here and there, but it's just like I don't see how you guys like if they liked a couple songs, fine. Mm. But they just go whole hog on it. Yeah, it can't just be like, oh, I like some stuff. It's like, oh, they're the best. And it's just like, whoa, you're like getting culty.
That's exactly. See, that's another part of it is that I could take these singles, they'd make an all right greatest hits. They did a thing, you put eight songs together, get Peg and you got Deacon Blues and Hey 19. Reeling in the years, be like, ah, that's a fine hits record of a middling 70s band. Be like, okay, those are good radio hits. They'd be not unlike Weezer, where you're just like, these albums are abysmal, but there's some singles in there. You'd be like, oh, okay. But no.
Better than seeing people defending all those Weezer albums either. Sorry, that's a little off topic.
Wait, somebody's defending all the Weezer albums?
Oh, I know some people. They're ridiculous. Yeah. I just my mouth stands agape. I'm like, what are you saying?
Well, God bless them, I guess. If and I'll say this. Once again, I wish it made sense for me. I don't like not liking things. I don't like not getting things. I want to get it. Let me in the party. I want to go to the party. Can I come to the party? Guess I can't.
I mean, I can't sympathize enough. It's like when I try to tell people, oh, you should really, you know, oh, you like Pink Floyd, right? Oh, you should go listen to that live at Pompeii. And they're like, ugh, I don't want to go watch a movie. And it's like, well, but all you're listening to is Dark Side of the Moon. And okay, never. All right, fine. So I get it. I get being on the outside too, but yeah, I don't get the people's adoration for it.
Yeah, it just eludes me, and I'm not putting it down. Well, I am, but
I am,
to be fair. But I want in, and nobody's showing me a way in.
And I'm sorry, I can't add to that. I do have a question for you though, too, but it's a little off topic. If that's all right.
Go ahead.
Well, I finally, you know, due to the pandemic, I think a lot of us are checking out stuff that we've maybe wanted to and haven't got around to yet. And I finally started watching basketball.
Oh, that's right. I saw you on Twitter tweeting a bunch about basketball.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. I don't know. It's like when a friend tells you about a good movie and you put it off forever. And then you sit down and you're watching and you're like, oh, this is amazing. Why did I watch this? And then you think, oh, wait, everybody told me to watch it. So maybe that's my fault. But I guess I just wanted to hear about what it was like for you watching, or how you liked the finals in the bubble and how it was and how weird it was watching it from LA instead of Jersey.
Well, thank you. That is very kind of you to ask. I love the NBA, and I loved watching the bubble. And it was one of the things, the fact that the NBA pulled off this, the bar was so high on this to keep all those players from testing positive for coronavirus, and they pulled this thing off. The games happened. there were great games. It was exciting. The Heat kept going and going, gave something to root for watching an underdog keep powering forward. And then their luck ran out at some point, but it was very thrilling. And I could not have needed that more than when it showed up. So it was a total gift.
I thought it was great. Yeah, watching the Heat was so fun. And for my first playoffs, it was it was really fun. It was engaging. And I'm kind of like learning about the teams as I'm going too. Cause you know, I'll say, oh, who's playing tomorrow night? And I'd go check it out and go look up highlight reels and stuff. And so it was really fun. But then I started thinking, oh man, I've listened to years of Tom's amazing basketball takes and I haven't got to hear what he has to say about
that. Well, now the exciting thing is that it's back next month.
Woo!
The shortest seasonal break ever. Usually you have to wait the whole summer. Usually it ends in mid-June and then you don't get it until October again.
And I remember hearing you say once on a show, you're like, it's, you know, it's no basketball right now. And this is the worst time of the year. And I didn't relate to it at the time. And then as soon as the playoffs were over, I'm like, oh wow. Tom was right. This sucks. Basketball.
You are now in the club, Jessica. You get it. You get that the basketball is a nice friend to hang out with.
It is.
And the games are fun and they're exciting. And the best part of the NBA for me is that you know who the players are because they're not wearing no helmets. They're not wearing masks. You see who they are and you realize that somebody, and the characters start to reveal themselves where you learn about, say, a Jimmy Butler from the Miami Heat, and you learn that in the bubble, he opened up his own coffee shop out of his room in the bubble and sold coffee to his teammates, $20 a cup.
I think it's Big Head Coffee. Is that right?
Yes. It was Big Head Coffee, $20 a cup, cash only, and to me, that was one of the funniest things imaginable. This guy, but then when he played, he was out of his mind. He played out of his mind. So exciting to watch a guy who I was never quite warmed up to the way I did this year. So very excited.
Awesome.
All right, Jessica, I'm going to go back to the Dan talk. But
good luck on that. I don't know if anybody's going to convince you, but thank you so much for taking my call, and I hope you have a great week, Tom.
You too. Thank you for calling. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, cool. Bye.
Okay. All right, bye. Who do we got?
Tom, you have a hotline call, and you got a couple more regular calls.
Let's do hotline call. I'm going to say we will end the show at 8:30 Pacific time and 11:30 Eastern Standard Time. So 20 more minutes. So give me the hotline, please.
Going to hotline now.
Hello, Best Show.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hi, who's this on the hotline?
This is Greg Turkington.
Greg Turkington, the star.
Yeah, right.
Breakfast Without Meat, the guy from Breakfast Without Meat.
That's how far back we go, and yet I realized in calling you that I don't think I've ever talked to you on air out of character, and when I finally do it out of character, it's to defend Steely Dan. It doesn't make sense.
Well, this is something else. The one and only Greg Turkington finally calls, and now I'm going to hear why I'm wrong about Steely Dan from him.
Well, I'm not going to say you're wrong, although I do think you're wrong, but I'm just going to share my experience because I was like I think Steely Dan was probably my most hated musical sound for decades. And people would say, oh, no, you don't get it. And I would say, I get it. It's just disgusting, smug music that I don't want to listen to that ruins my day, you know, which I'm guessing maybe how you're feeling about it.
Yeah, it ruins my day a little bit.
Well, and then I don't know what happened. My friend Owen Klein a couple of years ago, he and I have pretty similar taste in a lot of different genres, and he suggested that I give these guys another chance. And I was like, I don't think so, man. It's like 40 years of hearing this and being repulsed by it. I just don't think it's going to happen, you know?
But, wouldn't that be a good box set? 40 years of repulsion.
I mean, I could fill it with a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Curating such a set, that's for sure. But I don't know if it's like this lockdown or what, but I've been listening to a lot of this like yacht rock type shit, and okay. Which is a dubious genre anyway, and so it would make sense that Steely Dan might shine in the context of being played next to Seals and Crofts and Dan Hill and stuff like this. But for whatever reason, I was finding like when their songs would come on, rather than turning it off, which had been what I would do for the last 40 years, I was finding that I was like getting kind of excited, and like really listening more carefully. And I think I was listening to Deacon Blues, and it just struck me the line where he says, "I cried when I wrote this song." It just fucking sent me into hysterics. It's like, this is incredibly funny line of just the type of humor that I like. And then it all just kind of fell apart. What I'd thought all these years was like a soullessness and a smugness to their sound. I just took it all back. I realized like these guys are like almost like character comedians or something. And these songs, the more I listen to them, are about these like loser sorts of characters. And of course you would sing these lines with that kind of smugness. And then also in Deacon Blues, there's a line, it's the chorus, "I drink scotch whiskey all night long and die behind the wheel." And the way that the backing vocals come in to join on the line and die behind the wheel, mm-hmm. I was like, this is like my kind of humor. This is like really weird, subtle, dry humor where they're not, there's no like nudge, nudge, wink, wink. They're actually inhabiting these kind of horrible, horrible characters.
Now what, this is all very insightful. And I would just want to ask you though, why can't I hang out with one of the many smug loser comedians I know and not have to listen to Steely Dan to get that?
I don't know any. Well, I mean, who's listening to? I've never hung out with anyone that's playing them. I mean, I talked to Tim Heidecker and he likes them too, but I don't think I'm ever hanging out with anyone listening to it. What I'd like to get away from, actually, want to talk about smug music, is I'd like to get away from hanging out with comedians and the ones that I like, which is it's a very small set to begin with, but and they're playing. What? Pavement. They're playing Pavement, and like, I mean, Steely Dan. Any smugness that you perceive in that is very quaint compared to that fucking guy's voice and those lyrics. It almost feels like I'm almost embarrassed that I thought that was. Or like Sonic Youth is another one that's like, that is like, it makes my skin crawl. The smugness that those bands have, compared to this, and there's like no real wit in those guys. I don't know. Anyway, I like it. Look, I like it. Michael
quarantine's been hard for all of us. I think
I'm telling you, man,
this sounds like a cry for help.
Better.
This sounds like you're screaming for help, Greg.
Yeah, I'm helping. I'm helping. No, I'm sharing help.
I'm going to listen to a lot of Sonic Youth in quarantine.
Well, then I'm sorry for you. I mean, that's I'd rather have COVID than listen to that.
Oh, well, I can only tell you, my friend. It has made things go a lot easier for me.
I'm never gonna turn around on that one. That's
well, that's why God invented horse races.
Was it God that did that?
I think it was.
That's why God made the. Did God invent the radio too? Are you part of that scene?
I don't know if God. I think God probably had a hand in the radio. So the secret is that I have to listen to Dan Hill. Before and after Sonic Youth. Yeah. I mean, before and after Steely Dan.
I mean,
sometimes when we touch.
I wasn't convinced myself for years. I'm not like trying to I mean, I don't think I can convince you. I'm just sharing my experience.
That's sure.
It's like
I appreciate it. I appreciate the insight. I listen to the entire catalog. I listen to all of it.
That's more than I have.
And all I hear is the when I listen to the actual music, look, I just hear it's like listening to Seals and Crofts singing over a Spyro Gyra record.
Well, I mean, I can't argue with it, but it just, there's something about that's clicked for me. And it almost feels like, it's almost scary. You know, you have these friends that suddenly, you feel like you've known them for years, and suddenly they start subtly talking about things that Trump does that they like. And then a few conversations later, they're Trump voters, or they're into QAnon. You're like, what the fuck happened?
You know what it is to me?
Likely for me to do that is for me to switch to Steely Dan, but it's happened. I don't know what to say.
They are your QAnon then.
Maybe it is. Maybe, but I don't know. I just like it's very rare that I find, humor in music that has just the right touch that I like. Like I find, someone like Leonard Cohen or Mark Eitzel to me are very funny people that make kind of very serious music, but like the way that the humor is used, it really appeals to me. And I always heard about the Steely Dan humor, but I'm like, this is like lame, Harvard Lampoon. I wasn't sold on it, but when I tuned into it, and it was this fucking Deacon Blues is what really got me.
I'm gonna give you a recommendation: Bare Naked Ladies.
Oh boy,
you should check them out if you want some fun.
That's vicious. That's
some fun. Those are some fun lyrics.
That's nastiness. But you know what? I'm gonna give you a recommendation, which is check out the Doobie Brothers Minute by Minute album, and maybe that'll be your entry point to Steely Dan. You know, the other stuff with fucking Ramones, these slovenly sorts of guys that just are literally shitting into the microphone. And you know, if you watch on YouTube. The making of the Asia album, that documentary, I'm telling you, man, it's good. It's okay, real good.
You're talking to somebody. I've read books about Frank Zappa and you couldn't pay me to listen to his music. I can watch the making of anything or read a book about anyone, but I hate the product. But I will check it out.
Like, I agree. I've read so many music bios of people I despise. I mean, I went to the premiere of this Frank Zappa movie that came out a couple of years ago, and I got invited to the premiere, and I actually drove there and parked. I was about to go in, and I'm like, what the fuck? I can't stand a second of Frank Zappa's. What am I doing? And I got in the car and drove home, you know, and saved myself the torment of it. But the thing with that Asia documentary, you know, the series where they like have the multi-track masters and they sit there at the mixing deck and kind of play back this stuff. These guys are playing back all the rejected parts from these like, you know, super high-end studio musicians that they brought in and had play. And they play it back like, yeah, we didn't use this. And you listen to it, you know, like, God, nobody would reject this. This is like a great musician. And then they play another one and another one. And you realize like, these guys are insane. Weirdo perfectionists, and I think I just like the uniqueness of that, you know, compared to I'm super happy with, you know, sloppy one take stuff, but there's something about how extreme these guys are. It almost reminds me of like you know, the way bees make their hive or something. And I think if you tap into it, which I'm not saying you should, you've got plenty of good things going on, you don't need this, but I'm just telling you what happened to me.
Right. Well, I'm going to look, you
new, you know,
your path is similar to my path. And at least it gives me something to hang on to. So I appreciate
what's your take on the Grateful Dead?
Oh, they're the worst ever.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
I've tried on that.
I listen to them a lot, but it's like this weird kind of hate listening where I cannot believe what I'm hearing. I can't fucking believe, like, there's two drummers in this and I'm not even hearing one drummer, you know, and then the bass playing and like that Bob Weir is an oaf. It's literally look up Oaf in the dictionary, you see this guy in those like little shorts.
You don't like his shorts.
I don't like the shorts. I don't like his voice. I don't like when they do shitty songs like Good Lovin' and you know, Round and Round and all this shit. And it just sounds like a bunch of,
I just also want to say this episode has curses in it, everybody.
Yeah. Well, what did you expect? But anyway, the thing is, it's weird. It's like, I can listen to that a lot. Like Tim and I listen to it a lot if we're traveling and we just can't believe what we're hearing. You know, it's literally like this can't. It's like attending a Scientology meeting or something, and you can't believe these guys are into this. And I kind of thought that might be the route that I would take if I listened to a little more Steely Dan, of just like, yeah, this is loathsome. Like, I can't wait to hear more of this loathsome music. But no, it just totally clicked in the other direction. I'm like,
well, look, you tell me, you go listen to East St. Louis Toodaloo tonight, and then you tell me where you're at.
I don't like that. I don't like that one. All right. That's bad. That's bad. I'm not, you know, it doesn't sound like the rest of their catalog either. It's just, yeah, it's not. And somehow I knew you would bring that up too. I knew that it's like your ace in the hole to just shut anyone down. And
St. Louis Toodaloo. I'll always throw that card on the that's mine. When I'm playing Pokemon, I throw down. I got my Pokemon cards I throw down. That's the equivalent of a killer Pokemon card.
I get it, but
I gotta wrap the show up.
Stinkers. All right. Well, good luck.
Thanks for calling, Greg. You are the best.
Talk to you later. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. That was exciting. Greg Turkington making his case for Steely Dan. Pat, who do we got? A couple more. Throw them my way, please.
Line one.
Best show.
Yo, Tom, what's up? This is Ed. How are you?
I'm good. Who's this?
This is Ed from Boston, man.
Ed from Boston. What are you going to tell me about Steely Dan?
All right, so I saw Steely Dan recently, like in the last year, right? Which is, it's basically Donald Fagen, right? But my brother won tickets. You know, I'm like medium on him. My brother won tickets. He actually had to go and pick up the tickets somehow. I don't know why. But we went and saw Steely Dan in Boston. And I can say, just hear me out here, man. I mean, I got to say, they were good, and it was a diverse show. You know what I mean? There were some doctors there. There was, like, some lawyers there. Like, some people, they had a full...
Wait, they had doctors and lawyers at the show?
Yeah. Yeah. And some people 401k, some people more of a Roth IRA. It was diverse, Tom, is what I'm saying.
What are you saying?
It was a diverse show. You know what I mean?
It sounds amazing. I'm sure you and your brother had the time of your lives, but this does not convince me. Hang up on this guy. Next call.
It's a diverse show. You know what I mean?
Best show.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, who's this?
This is Trevor. You've read some of my tweets about the fall.
That's right. Trevor's doing a pretty impressive tweet-by-tweet breakdown of the catalog of The Fall.
Tom, I'm so psyched to be on the show finally. I've been listening to you for the past, like, 5 years. So long time, first time. Good to talk to you.
Welcome. Welcome. To what do I owe the pleasure of this call, Trevor?
I wanted to call in and talk to you about Steely Dan, obviously.
What do you want to say?
I figured, like, I would try and keep this short because I know you're trying to wrap things up, and I doubt I am going to be the one who finally sells you on the Dan, but I've always been a big fan of your impression work, and I was wondering if you could gift me an impression of, you know, beloved Fall frontman, rest in peace, Marky Smith, covering Steely Dan, if they were to cover Steely Dan, because, you know, that was a band that liked to do its covers. Some of their biggest hits were covers.
I wish I could.
You can't do it?
I can't.
He's got such an imitable.
I've got your picture. Is that what you want him to say? Like
that was good. That was great. I know you know that better.
And when you smile for the camera, right?
Hello, is his name?
Very nice work.
Oh, Trevor, sweet Trevor. Give your Twitter account out so people can follow your fall documentation.
It's Distaste for Math.
That's Distaste for Math. And how far are you into the catalog?
I'm right up to Extricate. I haven't updated it in a minute just because that's such a daunting album. Do you have any takes on the fall's 90s work?
It is a blind spot.
More of an 80s
guy. Polite way of putting it.
Stuff.
Sorry?
You're more of an 80s guy?
Yes.
Yeah. Bricks era or pre-Bricks era?
From the beginning all the way through Bricks. Kind of takes me to when I can wave goodbye. But there's albums. Fall Heads Roll is great. There's albums in there that are legit.
I still got to get to that one.
There's good records in there. So I'm not saying I'm out, but I'm just saying I'm less familiar with it. So.
And the catalog is always ready to welcome you back, buddy.
Well, thank you. So basically, well, thanks for the call. You have a great night. You done with the calls?
Two more.
Quick. Two more. Okay, real quick.
You're on with Nate.
Nate. Yeah.
Yes.
Do I know this, Nate?
No. I've called him before, but you don't know me.
All right. So what's up, Nate?
Well, I guess I wanted to see if anyone's convinced you yet or not.
Greg Turkington made a couple points because at least his reference points were similar to mine.
Okay. I guess that leads me to the next, like, what do you like and what don't you like? Of Steely Dan.
So, like I said, I don't mind some of the hits, but they're radio songs. They're like, basically, they're like a slightly worse Blow Monkeys to me.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I totally understand that. It's funny because.
It's like over-arranged Jerry Rafferty, I said earlier, and I stand by that.
I'm behind you on that one. I was calling. It's funny because I was going to call anyways and to ask you a question. I'm glad the Best Show is back, by the way.
Thanks.
I was calling to see if there was a place. To see if the PO box in Jersey was still a good place to send you stuff because I make bootleg Steely Dan shirts. And was wanting to send you.
Just email me, or tweet at me, and I'll get to you.
I'm not on Twitter. Can I do Instagram?
Sure. Do Instagram.
Okay. I was also going to say, like, at this point in your life, if you don't like Steely Dan, I have a strong feeling you're probably not going to get swayed as well.
Yeah, maybe. I'm up for any of it, though, my friend.
I love them. But I also am completely on people's side that don't like them from the get-go as well.
Sure.
I can understand that.
Mm-hmm. But I'm also up for breaking through. I'm up for breaking through.
Do you have an album of theirs that you tend to favor over any others?
No, none. Absolutely not.
Can I suggest? I think that I don't know. I want to say like Katie Lied and Royal Scam are up there for my top two.
All right, fine. Well, I'll check out. I listened to all of them this week.
Okay.
Listen to all the original seven. I listened to.
Any specifics that stand out?
No, I thought they were all terrible. I thought there's hits. There's hits and certain moments that pop out, but there's few and far between for me. But I thought maybe some of the lyrics would make it bridge the gap and then I could get into it that way, but it's not happening.
It's pretty smug. They're pretty smug. It's kind of hard to get past that.
Wow. All right, buddy. You hit me on Instagram. We'll figure it out.
All right. I will. Thank you, Tom.
Okay. Bye. Final call.
This is a super fan who's been on hold for a long time.
Super fan. Let's see.
any specifics that stand out.
Best show.
Hey, what's up? Why I'm still living with you, girls.
Who is this?
It's actually KV, man.
Kurt Vile.
Yeah, like, I'm pissed because everybody, nobody was convincing with the Steely Dan, and now I'm totally over it, to be honest. But there are definitely songs you would like.
Well, KV, you know I got an open mind. I want to like things. This is a rock star, first of all, on the line right now. This guy, he's played with all of them, and he is one of them. He's not just playing with them. He's one of them playing with them. They're lucky to play with him, not him playing with them. He's right. The future. This dude dropped an EP that's so nice. You know what he did, Kurt Vile? He got me to give John Prine another chance, and he was right.
That's right.
He was right. He knew what he was doing. He told me to keep trying, and I kept trying, and it started to make sense finally. Sure, maybe not my all-time favorite, but I get what makes him great.
Yeah, well, if he's a song guy, you got to get entry point. And also, similarly, I like, you know, like for things are acquired, like you grew up listening to Willie Nelson your whole life. I've always respected him, but like his voice was just not the timbre I was used to. And then all of a sudden it creeps in. Next thing you know, I'm listening to a vinyl rip of, you know, The Redheaded Stranger, which I knew that everybody loved it. And I was like, yeah, it's good, but I don't know. But then, you know, you're a little stoned on some European train and that recurring motif happens and you're like, oh, I guess I should have been doing what Willie does. That's what it was.
I'm not a negative person. I'm not old crab apple the way they're saying. Bit of a crab apple. They're saying old Tom's a crab apple. I'm not. I want to like things. I wanted to try to like Steely Dan listeners. Basically, I think I told them what they're wrong about. Yeah. Nobody did it.
Yeah, I don't know. I should have called earlier, but there are like, there's like good songs that I don't think you would like. And then there are some good songs that I think you might like. But one song is called Only a Fool Would Say That off of Can't Buy a Thrill. And honestly, you have a podcast about Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Sometimes Young, which is very thorough, but I feel it. Yeah, go ahead. But,
I'm going to check out Only a Fool Would Say That.
Yeah.
That's the one we're going to strap it to. Yeah. But I'm not going to check it out right now. I want to talk to you.
Okay, yeah. Good. Screw it.
Well, my friend, you're the best. What's 2021 going to be for you?
Man, I want to, honestly, it's kind of funny, but I think about how I want to get out there to make some music where you're at, but right now I'm just doing it at home. And honestly, I literally have like an equivalent to like Philly Boy Roy style. I have like, you know what Delco is? Delaware County? I don't know. I literally had like more of a Delco Philly accent from just being stuck here.
Okay.
I've noticed it. I don't know. But anyway, so here I'm stuck here, but I want to be out there. Often I think of that song, that Everclear song, like, Lonely and Dream of the West Coast. Like me and you, we could get a place together, but you know, we can live in
South Hills. Don't dye our hair blonde like Art Alex Coxix.
Leave from
I am reminded of your face.
It's like, I love it. It's like, snap and breakers, what will that?
Let's do it. Let's start an Art Alex Coxix tribute band.
No, that reminds me, actually, you know how you make your loops? Have you been doing your loops lately? Because I want to start an acid house band with you.
All right, let's do it. I'll do some loops. You play on top of the loops.
Yeah, like you ever listen to Primal Scream, the popular album, the
Screamadelica?
Yeah, Screamadelica, like certain songs there, like that song. We want to get loaded. We want to have a good time. That's incredible.
Yeah. Now we can do that. We'll do. We'll do like a down home American version of Primal Scream.
Yeah.
Look, if we get out of this pandemic, man. Everybody's got to do their dream. You get out of this thing.
We got big plans. Me and you both got big plans. I see where you're going.
You see where I'm going. I see where you're going. We're going to go together.
Yeah. How many strikes do we have?
You got none. You got no strikes.
I got no strikes, but you got two.
I got two. That's how it goes. I'm ready. I'll take it. I got two. All right, sweetheart. I'm going to get out of here.
Yeah, okay.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
All right, see you.
All right, bye, Kurt.
Bye.
Now, that's a rock star. This guy's a rock star. He gets it. All right. Thanks, everybody who listened. Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Jason. Thanks, Brett. And thanks to everybody who called, the Steely Dan fans who tried to talk me into it. I get the passion, is what I can say. Do I get the music? No, I don't. I tried. But did I start off in one place and ended in another? Yes, I did. And that's why I wrote a little song I'd like to sing to all you guys. I think, did I forget how this song goes? No, now I got it. Okay. You guys love the Dan, Steely Dan, and I wrote a little something for you, and we'll talk to you next week. We're going to go out on this. This is for my Steely Dan fans who called tonight to try to convince me that they're good, and this is where I'm at. Steely Dan sucks, that's what your boy Tommy thinks. You fans think they're great, but I know they really stink. It seems like only yesterday my friends knew they blew their pretension, condescension, but that's all in the past. Now I'm the fool, the one that is not on board. You're all clearly high, thinking that you know the score. So useless to ask you why, I guess I'm the stupid guy, but I know. Suck all day and night. If I played the saxophone, dedicated my life to jazz, and these smug eggheads got rich off my craft, I'd beat them black and blue. They got a name for the blowhards in the world. They call them Steely Dan fans. The band Why not go listen to Cam? All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Best Show. We will be back next week.